I think the best way to create awareness is with advertising. Like, how do people find out about new restaurants? Well, you could say, oh, word of mouth. Well, word of mouth is something you generate. It's not something you hope for. How many people did I capture their contact information for? Because acquisition costs dollars, retention costs pennies. So if I get somebody's email address, I get somebody's phone number, I have some way to communicate them again, I can affect retention. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining another episode of Tech Bytes. Today, we're going to talk marketing. We're joined with Rev Ciancio. He is the co-owner of Handcraft Burgers and Brew in NYC and also a hospitality marketing consultant with Branded Strategic. He's been around restaurant marketing for quite a while. I've had the chance to work with him over the last 6 or 7 months. He's always spot on in terms of what do we do now and how do we make an impact. And that's why he's on the show today. So Rev, thanks for joining the podcast. And we're excited to have you and get into the marketing aspects of restaurants.
Thank you, man. It is an honor. And I appreciate what you do for the business. Thank you.
Restaurant marketing. There's a lot involved in here, but run us through a little bit. Give us a high-level overview of restaurant marketing. What are the different channels? And then let's drill into each one and give a summary to everyone that's listening and watching on where should they start and what's the first step and how do they navigate this maze?
We have 3 hours because that's how long it's going to take to get through the bare minimum there.
I think about it this way, like most people think about like a sales funnel. Like, what are all the steps that a buyer has to go through to buy something from a company? It doesn't matter if you're selling software or vacuums or cheeseburgers, right? There's a sales funnel. I think the traditional sales funnel for a business, forget that it's restaurants, is like sort of, you know, wide at the top, narrow at the bottom, and then they make the purchase, right? The difference in the restaurant business versus most other businesses is that our funnel is one direction. It's actually circular, right? Because you don't really hit profitability until you're getting guests to come back. I think we've probably only heard the stat 100 times. 70% of restaurants only ever guests only ever dine at a restaurant once. And actually, I heard data that it's actually gone. It's gotten worse. It's now only 20% return. Like, it's getting harder, right? So that circular motion of getting a guest back in your funnel is like super important, right? So when I think about that, I think there are actually 4 steps to the funnel, right? And anybody that says there's more steps is overcomplicating. But essentially, it aligns to 1 of 4 things: awareness, acquisition, experience, and retention. So it's how does somebody find out about a restaurant? What gets them to make an order or go there? What happens during the dining experience, whether it's, you know, in a bag or on a plate? And then what gets them back? And so that's very different than the sales funnel for most other industries, because it's all about, you know, like, awareness through to purchase decision. This is like, we got to keep them coming back. So I think restaurants have to think about, how do I affect how people find out about me? How do I get people to make the decision to dine with me again, whether it's an online order or in store? What is the actual experience that happens? Because experience is also marketing. And then what's the retention? Like, how do I get them to come back? And I don't know that a lot of marketers think of it that way. I mean, look, we're all trying to drive guests back. But it's important that each part of that funnel happens together. Like, awareness does not happen without retention. Retention does not happen without acquisition. Acquisition doesn't happen without experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the philosophy, and I think that's what's interesting, and that's what perhaps gets me into the restaurant space and gets me super excited, because it's really ultimately at the end of the day, the concept is much simpler than any other industry. And I agree, if you boil it down, it's just those 4 steps. And it's not that much more complicated. You just got to figure out how to do each one. So let's get into it. Guest acquisition, number 1 thing. I don't think restaurants have a problem acquiring customers. Most restaurants I talk to, people do find out about them. People do visit. And because it's a hyper-local business, it makes it so much easier to... You only have a limited number of acquisition channels. So I think they've got that really well covered. But how do we acquire customers in the restaurants? How do you guys do that at Handcraft Burgers and Boo Boo? You got a lot of traffic, obviously, that are touristy, and you're in Times Square, so that helps. But maybe that's not a perfect example, but how would a restaurant, when you're opening up, how would you acquire those customers? How do you go around the brand awareness circle?
Well, I think that, again, it starts with awareness. So awareness has to happen before acquisition. And especially, like, again, with our business, we're very tourist driven. So it's sort of like the funnel happens real fast and there isn't a return, right? Because somebody who's visiting from Belarus, like, I'm probably never going to see them again. which also means I have to maximize the profitability on that one meal, but that's a different podcast. So I believe that 67% or around about 67% of a guest to a restaurant should be organically finding them through search channels, primarily Google, right? And so Google, Yelping, Yahoo, Foursquare, Facebook, TripAdvisor, like sort of any of the discovery networks, Apple Maps, you know, it's like the apps, maps, and search engines. Like you have to optimize that, because 2 out of 3 guests to your restaurant should be coming to you from one of those channels, right? Burger near me, pizza near me, best restaurant near me, gluten-free chicken nuggets near me, best place for kids dining, like gated, you know, free Wi-Fi, parking, handicap, all these things. Like a lot of people go to the internet and are looking for food without a destination in mind. Okay, these are real stats. 2 out of 3 searches on Google, out of all of Google, the entirety of everything that happens in Google, 2 out of every 3 searches are for a local business, which means Google inherently is local in nature, right? And out of searches that are happening for a local business, 2 out of 3 of those searches are for a restaurant. So restaurant search is like the dominant part of Google. So if you're not optimized at a search level, like you're missing out on natural guest acquisition, right? To your point, like it kind of happens on its own, but you can feed that by optimizing for local search. And so, you know, if you're optimized for hot wings near me and you have hot wings on your menu, like Google should be working in the background. A lot of restaurants don't think about that. They think about more of like advertising tactics, or they might think about like website optimization, but it's not about website optimization at all. Should I go down to the breakdown of how this works? Most people don't know this.
Well, yeah, actually, maybe we do need to get a little bit more into that. But like even myself personally, you're right. When I'm searching for a restaurant, I'm not looking for a specific destination. It's kind of unknown. I'm going to my Apple Maps, which is powered by Yelp, right? So that's where the Yelp situation comes in. And then, or I'm going to Google Maps and I'm searching on Google Maps and saying restaurants. And by the way, like Apple Maps and Google Maps have a restaurant thing on the top. I just tap on the button. I don't even type it. I just tap on the restaurants and everybody that's near me automatically shows up. And then I'm looking at reviews and I'm looking at the type of food, etc. What am I in a mood for before I make that final decision? But I agree, like step one has to be where people are searching. And if 2/3 of the searches that are happening on Google is on the restaurant side, then Apple Maps should be number one priority before even your website.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't need to go super into the details here, but like when I signed on board at Handcraft, like I literally signed the paperwork to be a co-founder and a co-owner. Literally the next thing I did was secure our Instagram screen name. And the next thing I did was start listings management. Like before I'd walked through the door, before I'd taken a photo of food, before I'd even tasted a bite, the first thing I did was make sure that we were going to be optimized for local search, because this is that important. And I'm not saying restaurants don't think about it, and I'm not saying restaurants don't optimize it, but it is vitally important because A, it's actually relatively easy. There's a lot of tools out there that make it even easier. And the impact that it has on your business is intense. Like it's intense. It is both awareness and acquisition in the same move.
Got you. So, okay. So that's brand awareness. Focus on the highest leverage, highest impact that it has. And that's the two maps searching, Google and obviously Yelp, because one is feeding Apple Maps. The other one's feeding Google Maps. What's next?
Okay. Let's just go one level deeper there and then we'll move on. So here's the thing that we need to think about. If 2/3 of searches for restaurants on Google are for the dish, not the name of the restaurant, meaning, you know, hot wings near me, Google and Bing and Yahoo have to know that you have hot wings on your menu. which means you have to manage your menu, not just on your website, but on Google and Bing and Yahoo and Forbes. Like they need to know that you have peanut Thai chili wings, and they need to know that you have gluten-free buns, and they need to know that they have all these things in your menu for them to be able to suggest that you are the right for that search. So menu management online, everywhere online, super important for the awareness and acquisition piece.
Got you. Okay, so that brings up a good point. How do you do the menu management? Like, do you just add the links to the menu online ordering or menu links to your listing?
So I recommend using a listings management tool. And the way a listings management tool works is you put all that information in the tool: your name, your address, your phone number, your hours of operation. You know, do you have a handicapped bathroom? Do you have parking? Do you accept Discover card? Do you have Wi-Fi? Like all those like black and white facts, including what's on your menu, including an image of the food, including the price, including a description. You put all that into your listings management tool, and it manages Google, Bing, Yahoo, Yelp, Foursquare, Apple Maps, Siri, Alexa, and like so many other places all in one. So make sure that your information is correct and updated on all of those places.
Yeah, that makes sense. Instead of having to do them individually one by one, you just do your listing management company. And I think we both know Marquee, so we might as well bring them up. I think they're a great resource to do that. I know you didn't want to bring it up, but I'll bring it up. But I think I think the advantages that they provide far surpasses the minor cost that it has in order to push that across the entire internet without having to individually log into each platform.
Yes, I absolutely endorse. I absolutely endorse Marquee.
Perfect. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on. So that's awareness, which ties into the acquisition.
Yeah, that's sort of a both, because like at my restaurant, because I'm getting a lot of tourists, like they're like, I want a hamburger right now. So they pick up Google and they search hamburger near me and they come to me. It's awareness plus acquisition, and then I'm probably never going to see them again, right? But by the same token, I think the best way to create awareness is with advertising, right? Like, how do people find out about new restaurants? Well, you could say, oh, word of mouth. Well, word of mouth is something you generate. It's not something you hope for, right? And essentially, you need to get in front of people's eyeballs. And you can get in front of people's eyeballs through direct mail. You can get in front of people's eyeballs through, you know, billboards. You can get through people's eyeballs through, you know, ads on Meta, Google search ads. You can do all these things. But, like, the awareness piece to me is something you pay for. You pay for awareness ads on Facebook and Instagram so that people find out about your restaurant. Okay. You could use influencer marketing. And if you're doing influencer or marketing the right way, you have a budget for it. That's how people find out about the restaurant. How you acquire them is once they found out about your restaurant is what's the thing that gets them to take action. Okay. That's usually content driven. So it could be an offer. It could be like, hey, come in for your first trip and get buy one, get one free. That's an acquisition move. It could be really great content. So, you know, Hamed's Taco Shop or whatever restaurant you've opened. If somebody tells me about it, I hear about it, or I see an ad, or I drive by the billboard or whatever, somehow I find out about your taco shop. If then I go to your Instagram account or I go to your website and the food looks amazing or the experience looks, you know, unbelievable or the environment is pristine, that's how you now acquire me. You put something in my path that makes me go, I gotta have this.
Right. Agreed. I think your restaurants underutilize pictures. I don't know why. To me, it doesn't make sense, because even like I've traveled a lot, and I had a former partner of mine where we would travel in countries where we didn't speak the language. The menu was not in English, whatever other language. And he would actually walk around the restaurant, look at other people. Like, I would never be able to do that, but he would. He would just walk around and be like, all right, that's what I want. And he would call the server and be like, get me this. And they would get it. And that's what he got. And, you know, I just rolled the dice. I just ordered whatever I thought could work. But like in that situation, a picture could have gone 1,000 miles, right? It would have been a huge, huge help to somebody who didn't speak the language just simply to have a picture on there. And I just don't understand why you have an iPhone, just put it in portrait mode, go in landscape, take some beautiful pictures and just upload it to your menu. And I don't know why they're not doing that.
Who knows? There's so many yeah. boxes to check in marketing. Some things get left behind, but either way, if we are going from awareness to acquisition, it's generally associated with something that's content driven. Great food, sure. great videos, an offer, you know, so something that gets people across. Because if I find out about your restaurant and then I go look it up, I search on Google, I go to your Instagram account, I click to your landing page to accept your offer, I drive by your billboard and I hit your QR code. Whatever the motion is that brings me from awareness to acquisition is generally content driven. At that point, you have my attention. Now you have to convert me. Okay. And there's lots of ways to convert people. They're all content driven. It's all about what happens after I found out about you. And so.
Got you. And then tracking that, I think, is another thing that I'm most interested in, and how much each channel is driving revenue. So how do you guys handle that?
Part of the bummer about.
Well, how do you recommend handling
part of
that?
The bummer about restaurant marketing is it's really hard to trace activity to action. It's not exactly e-commerce. So again, like if I'm hanging out with you and I trust you and you tell me about a restaurant and then I go look it up, like how does the restaurant know that? You know what I mean? Let's say that I see an ad on Google because I search for hot wings and you're running Google search ads and I click it. You could track the click, but what if I don't order? Like, what if I come back like 2 weeks later? Or what if like it was a great awareness piece, but I wasn't ready to order hot wings that day and I want them 3 weeks from now? Like, it's just super hard to trace. It's not e-commerce. So restaurant marketers to a certain degree have to just accept that certain channels definitely work. And you have to use the metrics that you're given. So as an example, if you're going to run awareness ads on Facebook and Instagram, which I endorse, that is a great way to affect awareness. It's got great targeting, it's got interest targeting, it's got geo targeting. There's lots you can do. You want to optimize for the lowest possible CPM you get, right? What is the least amount of money I can pay for the most amount of eyeballs to see this? And I think the industry benchmark is like a $5 CPM. Most of my clients are below $3. So essentially that would be the metric there. Now, if you're gonna use Google search ads, meaning somebody, again, we just keep using the hot wings example, I guess that's what I'm craving today, is hot wings near me and I click it, right? Again, I can't trace the sale, but the thing I would look at there is what's my CPC? What's my cost per click? Now again, industry benchmark is $1.25. And I would ask a restaurant, would you pay $1.25 to get somebody to click to your website if they're already on Google and they've already said hot wings near me, right? You probably would. Most of our clients are 50 cents or less in the CPC. And again, would you pay 50 cents to get somebody to click to your website to search for hot wings? You damn well would. You know what I mean? So again.
Well, the search intent is so high. At that stage, the search intent kicks in and it's like, yeah, it's a highly focused search intent. And it's fairly inexpensive because 50 cents, it's nothing. You know, you get into the tech space, you're talking about tens of dollars.
Yeah. And again, I wish there was better like traceable conversion metrics, but when I'm doing marketing, if I'm running an awareness ad on Meta, I'm looking at CPM. If I'm running a Google search ad on Google, I'm looking at CPC, and I would absolutely do both of those things. Right. And then, you know, when you start to like, what about this channel? What about this channel? You have to pick essentially what I call the God metric. What is the God metric on that channel that gives you the closest availability to understand what's happening? And so as an example, Instagram, okay. Posting content to Instagram, by the way, is not awareness or acquisition. It's retention. We'll get into that in a second. But the thing I would be looking at is not likes. I would not be looking at followers. I might be looking at engagement, like overall, like, is this an active channel for me? But the thing I care about most is, did people take the action that I requested in my content? So today, if I post something that says, place an order now, click the link in bio, I want to measure link clicks in the bio, and then specifically link clicks to online ordering. If the content I posted today said comment below to enter to win a contest, then I would be looking at engagement on that post. If my content said book your reservation now for this weekend, again, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's no sort of there's not a God metric overall for Instagram or social media, other than maybe engagement. You have to look at, did the action I make affect the action I wanted people to take? So again, per channel, come up with your God metric. What's the thing that you know that gives you the signal that the channel's working? And the number one signal, I'm kind of going all over the place here, right? But you asked about measurement. There's a couple overall God metrics, okay? Number one, transaction count. Is my transaction count going higher? If I had 10 orders yesterday and I have 11 orders today and 12 orders tomorrow, great. Transaction count is going up, okay? You can't look at, you can, I like AOV, I like LTV, but they could also be, they can be juiced by cost of goods, they can be juiced by inflation. There's a lot of factors there that, but transaction count, number of transactions is a God metric, okay?
That makes
also,
sense.
Also, CRM growth. How many people did I capture their contact information for? Because acquisition costs dollars, retention costs pennies. So if I get somebody's email address, I get somebody's phone number, I have some way to communicate them again, I can affect retention, right? Those are the two things I would measure more than anything else. Transaction count, CRM growth.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of discounting because I think it devalues the brand, but I think on acquisition, it absolutely makes sense. And early retention, it makes sense to absolutely discount and promo it. I was watching this podcast with another restaurant owner, and I don't remember the exact metrics, but in order to acquire a customer, you know, maybe it'll cost you, let's just make some numbers up. It may cost you $10 to acquire the customer. But if you don't do anything else, then you've lost that $10. Now you got to amortize that $10 over one visit. But if you say, hey, next time you come in, it's a free fries, right? Let's just take that as an example. And then they would do they would leave a note or a napkin on a table that was like black or red. I don't know if you've seen that video. Anyway, but I think that was very interesting because then everybody knew this is a first time customer. This is a second time customer. This is a third and a fourth time customer. And he would rotate that. So they knew, the servers also knew if this is first, second, third, or fourth visit. And after fourth visit, everything stopped because the customer had already built that habit. And you want to try to get to that fourth visit as quickly as possible. So I think on acquisition, it makes sense to just add a discount. That's okay. Why? Because it allows you to track the return on investment on that channel. Especially nowadays, you could easily track the coupon code in the POS system and then tie the two together and say, here's how much I spend on ads. Here's how much I spend on food cost. Here's how much revenue I drove back in X period of time. And it allows you to make better decisions, allows you to kill the losing campaigns and double down on the winners. And then I think the same thing applies for the retention on the first like four or five visits.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I understand the thought around discounting, but I don't see it as discounting. An acquisition offer is different than a discount. That's, I'm willing to give you something to get here, right? And it's just like you said, like you talk about SaaS, right? In SaaS, it's like, how much does it cost me to acquire a new client, right? That might cost you $100 or $1,000 or $3,000. But that's the amount of work and cost you had to put into it. Now, that doesn't mean you necessarily gave a discount to that person, but you had to spend money to get there, right? In the restaurant business, we spend money to acquire customers. And if the budget actually goes to the customer's pocket in the form of a BOGO or $5 off or whatever, It's just the cost of acquisition. That's it, right? And this business is run on sampling. It's run on sampling, and at the bottom end of it, it's about discounting. Even the nicest restaurants in the world might have a happy hour, or they might recognize a guest and bring them a free drink. Like, it's just like, it's part of the hospitality.
And actually, that's a funny point because sampling does actually work. And you're right. Like, you got to get them in. You got to get them to try the food. You got to get them to try it before they become a regular. And I remember, like, I had a food company and we did sampling in Costco where we're selling to Costco. And it was clearly evident when we did sampling. The sales for that weekend would just crush it. It would go twice as much as normal sales just because of that sampling. And I agree, that should be cost of marketing. It's not discounting. I need to change that around and say, look, it's part of marketing.
Yo, you ever see a movie trailer?
Oh, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Sampling, right?
Yeah, it's sampling.
When the new Marvel movie comes out, they put out two different trailers. They are samples. You're getting a sample of
the movie? Even the Bad Boys. Well, the Bad Boys is coming out. And have you seen the Messi commercial?
No.
That's like Bad Boys. And that's all he says. But it's just, it's really funny. Anyway, great marketing and great way to build a hype around, again, the movie that's coming out.
Yeah,
so.
Sampling.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, some of this stuff is, it's not obvious until somebody else says it, right? Unless it's explicitly mentioned, then it's like, it doesn't exist.
So my point,
in restaurants, it's really difficult.
Yeah,
already.
So my point is, you got to have awareness, you got to have acquisition, you got to have great experience, you got to have retention. If through that process, you're not measuring each piece of it and you're not collecting guest data, you have a broken flywheel, right? So if I can get your email address at awareness, great. If I don't get your email address till acquisition, great. So like that could be like you placed an online order. That could be you made a reservation, right? That could be I put out an advertisement and you clicked a landing page campaign, I got your email address, okay? But if I didn't get your email address at awareness, I didn't get your email address at acquisition, I better get it during the experience. So if I come into the store and I sign up for your loyalty program, or I get on your free Wi-Fi, or I download your loyalty program, or I join your email newsletter, like you got three shots in the funnel to get my address, my email address. If you didn't get it, retention's a mystery. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I said CRM growth is an important metric to measure, because you got four steps of the funnel, you got three shots to get it. You know what I mean? And it's that fourth piece, the retention piece, that drives transaction count. So let's say on average, 20% of your guests are the only ones returning, 80% don't. If you get that to 75 or 76 or 71, you've won the battle. And so now that would be the retention metric. What's my return rate?
Yeah, and that's the key. I think that's where I spend a lot of my time, is on the retention side, because to me, it's absurd to lose 70% or now 80% of your customers. You know, competition is fierce. And if you're just hoping that they come back, guess what? They're not coming back. The data, the facts is already proven that they're hoping that they come back. 70% will never come back. That's done. So how do you tip that metrics in your favor? And by the way, you don't have to do a lot. In fact, we have a calculator on our website. If you're doing $1 million a year, and you take 15% of the customers and you increase their frequency of visit by one visit a year. So instead of them coming in once a year, they're coming twice a year. The impact to your top line is like $280,000, $90,000. And then majority of that is going to the bottom line, because your labor doesn't increase. Your food cost is the only thing that does increase. Labor, rent, all the fixed expenses doesn't increase. So that is the way to really get to profitability, is through retention. So let's circle around that retention a little bit. And what are the most effective ways to ensure that the retention flywheel keeps spinning?
Okay, so number one most important thing in retention is capturing guest contact info. If you don't have your guest contact information, you can't market to them. Okay, so number one is getting the info. Number two then is actually using it. So if you're not using guest contact data with email or SMS or, you know, ad targeting or loyalty or whatever the thing is, then it's useless. But if you don't have it, you can't do anything. So like for me, I think every restaurant should be using email. And I would use email before I would use SMS. And I would use email before I would use rewards programs. And I would use email before I would use an app. Now, great. People who use the app are more likely to come back. They're more engaged. People who join loyalty are more engaged. But still, like, I think the opportunity is in CRM. It's not necessarily in, like, these lower funnel type things. Because people that are in loyalty are going to join anyway. And people that are going to be active in loyalty are going to be active anyway. Now, I'm not saying that you have a lazy rewards program, but, like, okay. let's say you're having 25% of your databases participating in loyalty, you get it to 30. That's valuable. But if you have 80% of your guest database is not coming, and you get that to 75 or 70%, way more valuable.
That's a huge win.
Yeah. Because it's easier, right? And converting somebody from one trip to two trips by simply sending a mass marketed email, cheap, easy, scalable.
Even if they don't come back after the fourth visit, I'd be interested to see what that math looks like. Who cares? You went from one visit to four visits, which means you now the cost of acquisition is now broken across four visits, not one visit. So now instead of paying $10 to acquire, you could pay $20 to acquire because now it's costing you even less per visit. But yeah, actually that brings up a good point. I need to go do some homework on, you know, what if you just bring them in four times and then you're losing 70% on a first visit anyway. Why don't you lose 70% over after four visits? And then at that stage, the numbers should look very enticing. Clearly you're struggling, but you're sort of making it on 20, 30% retention. What happens if that retention goes to the fourth visit?
Well, yeah, listen, restaurants business is also a top line game. So like if I can get you to come in four times and I don't make full price margin on each one, but I make margin on each one, I've optimized for margin profitability, but also like I have to buy the chicken. I have to buy the lettuce. I have to pay the employee. I have to pay rent, right? So those things get amortized with value. Right. So like if 100% of my guests are returning because of a discount, but I'm packed, I've maximized spending.
That's music to my ears. Like, by the way, any business, right? There isn't a business that top line does not matter. Even if you own a lawn company or a tech company or a restaurant, look, you're going to have thin margins if you're under $1 million in revenue. It almost regardless of whatever industry you're in and what business you're in. I've been saying this for a long time. Money solves all problems in business. I do not care what problem you have. You know, if your rent is $100,000 a month, that's not the problem. The problem is you don't have enough top line revenue. Drive repeat customers, drive more top line revenue. Who cares if the rent is $100,000 a month? I was talking to a restaurant person and literally their rent was $95,000 a month. $95,000 a month. And I'm like, you know what? Then it sounds like you have a serious problem. You're not making enough top line revenue. Boris says, hey, I got to cut my rent down to whatever, $50,000. And even if you cut the rent in half, which is impossible, focusing on top line revenue and increasing the top line revenue by a 10% will have a bigger impact on your net margin than the rent will on the bottom line. So tell me about top line revenue. So what are your thoughts in this space? Because for me, that's the number one focus. If I can't afford something, the problem is I'm not making enough money. So to me, the solution is, all right, I got to go earn more money in order to afford it and get that next thing.
I look at it this way. So I believe in modeling, right? Everybody else has already figured out all this other stuff. I just need to go learn from what they do and do my version of it, okay? The biggest restaurant in the business is McDonald's, okay? They've been around for a long time. They know how to solve problems. They have all the dollars in the world to think about these things. All you need to do is go look at what they're, understand what they're doing and apply it to your business, okay? McDonald's has a value menu because they know that a certain portion of their audience are value driven. So they figured out a way to get those people into a value menu, okay? Is there a bigger kids restaurant on the planet than the place that invented the Happy Meal? There's not. They know that a certain amount of moms and dads and parents like rely on McDonald's to get a quick, fast meal that kids will eat, right? Additionally, they also know if they hook you as a young kid, they get you for life, right? That's why they have Happy Meal. But then they also have LTOs. That's why they have like the crispy chicken or the Shamrock Shake or the McRib. Because they also know that like those are premium items. And so like, so for me, I go to McDonald's with my kid because he eats nuggets and it's $5 and I know it'll get done, right? I go there for that. Then every St. Patrick's Day, I have to have a Shamrock Shake, right? And so they understand who their customer is and they understand that if they can get you coming in for multiple reasons, it will all work out. And so sometimes I literally just want a 99-cent cheeseburger and I'm going to McDonald's. And sometimes I'm trying to feed my kid and I get a Happy Meal. And sometimes I'm like, yo, man, I got to have a Shamrock Shake. You have to understand that your business does not have just one audience. Like, in maybe in the rare case, if you're the empanada truck that parks outside of the local soccer field, okay, you probably have a limited audience. But if you're a restaurant, like, you have people that can afford a $300 bottle of wine. You got people that, like, are going to bitch that your Coca-Cola is $3. You have to understand that it takes all of these people to make a restaurant work. And if you have seats open, who's the person that would fill that seat? You know, if you have drive times that are slow, who's the person that would fill that drive time? It's top line revenue. If you can maximize top line revenue, you can maximize profitability through retention.
Of course. Yeah. And back to the point, like when you go, like, you know, we're educating and as much as we can, but sometimes it's really difficult because the correlation of that top line revenue, if you're doing $1 million and you're making 10% margin, let's say you do $1 million and you make $100,000. If you make 1.1 million, that extra $100,000, it's 70% margin. And it is that, like, there's, because nothing else increased. Rent didn't go up. Labor didn't go up. $100,000 increase is not that much. So, and by the way, over a course of 12 months, that's what you're doing. So the margins on top line revenue increase is astronomical. I learned that through my first company after we crossed $1 million, and the game completely changed. So again, I'm saying that from experience, but if you haven't experienced it, it's really difficult to grasp the concept. But once you experience it and once you understand it, then the game will completely change. All right, so this was amazing. I learned quite a bit. Hopefully everybody learned. And if you haven't done some of these things, just focus on awareness. Figure out how to get customers in through Google Maps, Apple Maps. Get some sort of a listing management software that allows you to have all the SEO stuff that is around the maps. So that was for awareness and acquisition. And then help me with the next thing. So brandness, acquisition, experience. So you gotta, yeah, that's done. We didn't talk about that, but that's given, right? You're in the hospital. That's your core foundation. You better know what you're doing in the experience. And then retention. Get contact information, email, cell phone numbers, and actually use it. Have some sort of a retention engine that allows you to get that customer to come back in. And again, you're losing 80% of your customers on the first visit. Just aim at losing them on a second or third or fourth visit. And that solves all your problem because it feeds into your top line revenue, increases that, which then your thin margins go away. Your labor challenges are a thing of a past. And who cares if food cost is increased by 4 or 5 points and you're at 35% instead of 30%, you're still going to make a great deal of margins.
You gotta sell every chicken in that bag, man.
Agreed. Thanks everyone for joining. Rev, thank you for joining the podcast. It was amazing to have you on.